So I'm curious, how many of us are older siblings? Oh, quite a few. Interesting. And how many are the younger siblings? Fewer. Interesting. And of course, some of us are middle siblings or only children. Is that right? Some of those? Yeah. I'm asking because I have a theory that our own birth order may have a little impact on how we hear this story. So let's see. It all started because Jesus was at home with tax collectors and sinners. He liked to hang out with these people, even ate with them. And this was not okay with the religious elite, the Pharisees and the scribes. This was outrageous behavior for a respectable Jew, especially a teacher. So Jesus told them a story, one of the great beloved stories of our faith. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son came to his father one day and asked him for his share of the inheritance. That was like wishing his father dead, in a way. But he got it. His father sold some property and the son got his share. And once he had his money, he left as soon as he could and he traveled far away. And he blew his money on reckless and extravagant living. That's why they call him prodigal. I don't think we really use that word anywhere else these days. Prodigal means wastefully extravagant, not wayward. It means wastefully extravagant. And wouldn't you know it, the younger son ran out of his money, and just as he was running out of his money, a recession hit that land, and he was left with nothing. He hit bottom working for a hog farmer, and he was feeling so hungry that he was tempted to eat the slop that he was feeding the pigs. Can you imagine? Then he got the idea that he'd be a whole lot better off working as a servant for his father than staying where he was. So he devised a plan. He figured his only chance was to grovel and beg for a job as a servant. So he prepared his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I know I'm not fit to be your son. Please treat me as one of your hired servants. And he went home. And as he approached home, his father saw him coming, even from a long way off. And the father was filled with compassion. And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son couldn't even get his speech out before his father was ordering for the best clothes and the shoes and even jewelry. A ring, the family ring. This time it was the father who was prodigal, extravagant and reckless with his love and forgiveness. He had them prepare the fatted calf and they threw a massive party to celebrate his return. But that is not the end of the story, right? This is the part that sometimes gets forgotten. Remember the other son, the older son? Don't forget that part. I'm the oldest son too. When he came in from the fields from working, and he heard the music and dancing, he asked one of the servants, what's going on? And he heard that his father had prepared the fatted calf and thrown this huge party for his long-lost, shameful brother. He was angry. He refused to come in. So his father came out to him to ask him to join the party. But the older brother said, "For years I worked like a slave for you, and I never disobeyed you. And you never so much as killed a goat for me to have a celebration. But when this son of yours comes back, who has squandered your property and disgraced our family, you kill the fatted calf for him?" His father, with sad realization in his voice, tried to explain, "Son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate, don't you see? Your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. Your brother. He was lost, and now he's been found. Your brother is finally home. We have to celebrate." That older brother stayed home all those years, but somehow he got lost too. He may have done his duty. He may have been faithful, but he resented it. Even in his own home, with all that he had, he was not content. He was not at peace. The younger brother got lost in his own selfish desires, and the older brother was lost in his resentment, but they were both lost. Their dad just wanted them both to be home and safe and to delight in the joy of being family. Now, I imagine many of us tend to side a bit more with the older brother. His resentment was justified, wasn't it? I see a few older siblings nodding. Maybe not just older siblings. I can relate as an older sibling. The oldest of two sons. But sometimes I am the younger son, throwing away the grace that is given me. And at times I am the older, privileged, praiseworthy, deserving, resentful of the grace given to others, throwing away the grace that is given me. Prodigal means generous, not wayward, wastefully extravagant. This is the parable, not so much about the prodigal son, but about the prodigal father. We have a prodigal God who blesses us so that we might be prodigiously generous, forgiving and welcoming without judgment, giving without thought of deserving, that in our generosity of heart, we too who have been lost may be found. that we who have died may be alive again as God's prodigal children. The problem was that both sons saw their connection with their father as a transaction instead of an intimate kinship. How often do we turn relationships into transactions? How easy it is to fall into selfish faith, a faith based on what we want from God. One son says, "Give me my share of the property." And the other son says, "You never gave me so much as a goat." Neither wants their father, just his stuff. They don't realize they can have so much more. Selfish faith wants things, not relationships. Both sons break their relationship, betray their kinship, remove themselves from the family. "Treat me as one of your hired hands. I worked for you as a slave." To both of them alike, the father leaves his home and goes out a distance to his lost sons, one geographically, the other emotionally. But both of them having removed themselves, and he invites them back in. Sometimes it is a gift responding to "treat me as your slave" with "put a ring on his finger." Sometimes it is a challenge responding to "that son of yours" with "this brother of yours." But always it's an invitation to join the party. God does not give us things. God gives us relationships. When Jesus heals people, he restores them to community. We need to let what we seek, what we yearn for, bring us deeper into our kinship with all people, with all creation. It is only as kin that we can truly pray and that we truly receive. It is in rediscovering our kinship with all people in Ukraine, in Yemen, in Myanmar, in Russia, in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, and everywhere else, that we can be found and we can find one another. We don't know how the story ends exactly. We don't know if the older son lets go of his resentment and joins the party. We don't know if the younger son can really let go of his shame and guilt and truly come home. We don't know if either of them is found. We hope so. But I know one thing. We all can be found. We will be found. We can let go of our guilt and our shame and our resentment and our judgment. We can accept the unconditional love and the immeasurable grace of God. For it is in accepting ourselves as deeply beloved and accepted that we are then able to love and accept and love others. I am indebted to the wonderful writing of Steve Garnas Holmes, whose words I have borrowed for parts of this sermon today, and I want to end with another of his poetic reflections now. God is not bound by our shame. The robe and the ring are not merely gifts. They signify family belonging. You can't unbelong from God's family. You can't be outside God's intimate bond. You always belong, always have, and always will. Run away, you are still God's beloved child. Come crawling back, poor of all but guilt, you are still rich with God's delight. Delight, child, beyond mere acceptance, deeper than forgiveness. God's utter delight, reason for singing and dancing. You belong, sealed to God's delight, compassion, healing, gratitude, and delight. God has nothing but delight for you. Repent of refusing God's delight. Your penance, hard as it is to come in and feast. Your penance is to enter into God's love and joy. Let us pray. Merciful God, though we turn away from you, still you are near. You claim us and embrace us and bless us. Bring us home and speak to us. We turn to you to receive your grace and to become again your faithful children. Amen.